don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
Patrick Mshari, Patrick Mshari, financial advisor, joins us on the line. Now, give us some perspective on how to risk our lives and retire a risky life. I'm kidding. It's not going to be like that. He wants us to be responsible, and he teaches us on how to be financially savvy. Patrick, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, this is Derek. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Derek comes through from 6 in the morning up until 9 in the morning, Monday to Friday. That's called the Glorious Morning with Derek Viriri. My name is Naye Lupondwana. But it's not a problem. We're brothers. We're here together. Call me Derek if you like. I'll respond.
Mr. Lupondo, good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Not a problem.
My apologies.
Not a problem.
Feels like I just landed from another mission, you know?
But, okay.
Not a problem.
It's okay. It's okay. The name is Naye Lupondwana. So you can call me Naye. All right. So today we're talking about insurance the tools of the trade. Insurance is a safety net that protects retirees from life's unexpected events, we're told, from health and long-term care insurance to self-insurance. I don't know what that would be, self-insurance strategies. So we'll delve into how these tools and reduce the financial vulnerability and provide peace of mind. And that's what Patrick Mshari is here to talk to us about. So Patrick, talk to us. How does life insurance complement a retirement plan? And when is it necessary, really?
All right, Naye, thank you for that, my brother. Alrighty, so besides that, what's written in scripture, that a good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children, I think practically life insurance just ensures that a person's lifestyle is protected even after retirement, you know? So we're going to retirement, the South African landscape, unfortunately, doesn't mean when we retire, we lose our financial obligations or we cease our financial obligations. Some people are still taking care of others, even in retirement.
Okay.
So then the question is, when my time on earth is done, what happens to these people I'm taking care of? So that's where life cover then will come into play. You say that whatever I have been taking care of, can it continue even if I'm not alive?
Let's go through these planned questions because I have my own that are popping up as you're speaking right now. Let's just move on. What are the benefits and drawbacks of long-term care insurance for retirees?
Okay, so medical expenses in general, they are expensive, but unplanned medical expenses are even more expensive, you know, from the feedback we get on the ground. So you can imagine, as a retiree, we are told that we are not earning what we used to earn as an active working person, right? So now, fast forward to constrained income. So constrained income, little income, you just have enough for the essentials, because most people don't save enough for retirement. Don't ask me why. So then now you've got that little income that you have, and then boom, you have to go to an MRI scan or go for a hip or knee replacement. Whom I learned expects in the industry tell me you're looking at upwards 100,000 there. Where are you going to get that, you know? So that's when medical care can, long-term medical care can come in.
Now, you're talking about medical care. This cover, it's different from medical insurance. This medical cover is different from medical aid, right?
Yeah. So I think I was addressing the umbrella. Because, you know, because medical aid is so expensive,
right?
Some people do not afford it, you know?
Okay.
So then there's other plans that then fall in. So if I mention medical aid, then I think I'll be excluding those plans, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I think the choice of medical care, that umbrella that takes care of medical aid, hospital plan, just a plan. to cater for those unforeseen circumstances.
Tell us what health insurance is, and then how can health insurance reduce the financial burden of medical emergencies during retirement? You've given us an example of the hip or knee replacement, which costs more. Just dwell more on that and explain what health insurance actually is, since you're saying it's an umbrella and not medical aid exclusively. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Thank you, sir. So, then, as much as it doesn't happen to everybody, but there is a big risk that as a working professional or as a human being rather, who's earning an income, earning an income or without earning an income, can be diagnosed with an illness or that just takes long to heal, you know. Eventually it heals. We'll pray it away, you know.
Sure.
So or you get into you sprain your ankle, New Year's resolutions, people push at gym, they sprain their ankle there, and then so those events, there is some form of cover that the insurance industry has to say if those eventualities do happen, instead of me taking out money, my last saved money from my account, I just call them and tell them, hey, I didn't make it, man. So I hurt myself or I'm sick.
Right.
So they give you authorization and pay the claim. You know? So those are the mechanics of how it works. You know, so there are many players in the industry, which is exciting for the consumer in the fact that we don't only now have to take the best plans. You know, like back in the day, if you couldn't afford comprehensive medical aid or insurance for that matter, it was as good as not having it, you know? Yeah, but now players have came and said, actually, most people can cover themselves for day to day, you know? We can do home remedies for your flu, for your whatever. Yeah, but hey, in hospital, it's hard to DIY, man, you know? You need the specialist there. So then there'll be hospital cover, which is also under that umbrella to say if you are hospitalized, instead of selling your house or trying to DIY, there's some benefit that can pay on your behalf.
Yeah. So every time when someone says DIY, I'm thinking of crafts and arts, you know, doing things at home. I've never imagined DIY as far as my own health is concerned, but it does apply. It applies. Let's talk about the DIY. Let's talk about the DIY. Is self-insurance a variable alternative to traditional insurance? Why not?
Okay. So I come from the school of thought that says, that believes rather that insurance is a transfer of risk, you know, from oneself to the insurance company, you know.
Okay.
Let's look at it that way. So having said that, suppose I could work and save myself 5 million, right?
Right,
I would say I have got enough.
Right.
If something happened, my kids will be sorted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then here comes a life insurer that tells you that, look, I can still make sure that 5 million you use it for farming or whatever you give to the church, to the poor, you know, you do the lot, whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And then just let me take care of the rest that should you pass on, I will pay you 5 million. I'll pay the beneficiaries 5 million, right?
Right.
So now, so go with me just a few more seconds now. To say, look, that 5 million life cover will cost you, say, 2,000, right? So if you are 40, let's say you've got 50 more years to go.
Right.
Even in 50 years, paying 2,000, it will never amount to 5 million. See? So then the wise would say, I can just transfer the risk from my side to the life insurance company.
Right.
And just make sure that I win. And obviously, the beneficiaries win. But that's how it is. If done right, you can get life cover cheaper than you would self-insurance, you know. That's a quantitative measure. I agree with it. But some people that tell you about, you know, these institutions, when they fall, they're mighty, you know. So for peace of mind, it's better for me to have something that I've got control over.
Right.
And I believe that sometimes insurance is not done right, you know. People have accidental cover, thinking they've got actual cover, keep paying for it, and then pass on not in an accident. And then that thing doesn't pay, you know. So things can happen, you know.
Big.
So qualitatively, it might be a good idea to have in your basket of risk cover there to say,
Right.
okay, I've got the insurer taking care of me. But then should that not happen, or on top of that, I also have a business that can run with or without my
Right,
existence.
right.
Yeah, and there's a couple of businesses that can do that. Or I've got this money that I'm just saving safely under my pillow, and its purpose is to take care of my kids when I'm not here.
Okay. Final question, I'll let you go. What steps
Okay.
should retirees take to ensure their insurance policies adapt to their ever-evolving life circumstances?
Okay. So this is a free advert to my colleagues in
Okay.
the industry. I say you need a very, very good relationship with your financial advisor.
Okay.
So if you haven't partnered with one, I would say look for one, but he or she that you'll have a good relationship with, in a sense that the answer to your question lies in what we say it's annual reviews, you know.
Right.
In fact, even the law is on your side as a consumer to say you are entitled to one annual review, you know,
Right.
because even the lawmakers do know that the only thing constant is change.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they know that our lives change. So how can it be a suitable portfolio or contract if it's not adopted to the ever-changing or ever-evolving
Right.
lifestyle? So yeah, to answer your question, the answer to that is an annual review at minimum. But if there's anything significant that's happening in your life,
Right.
there's no law that stops you from reaching out to that trusted financial advisor,
Yeah.
or some people bypass financial advisors and deal directly with the financial service providers, you know. DIY again, so yeah, you'll
Yeah.
be surprised.
Sure.
So yeah. So annual reviews is the antidote to make sure that everything keeps going well.
Absolutely. And for those who
Yeah.
are listening, particularly the retirees, this does not constitute financial advice. You cannot take decisions based on what we're talking about here. We're simply advising you so that you can get an actual financial advisor who is going to then help you. What Patrick is doing is to inspire you to find a trusted financial advisor. Do not say, oh, no, I was listening to AWR. I'm going to diversify. Because I was talking to them yesterday, they were diversifying. I know I'm going to DIY because today they were DIY. No. Patrick is simply saying find somebody you can trust who's going to make sure that you are adapting to your ever-changing present circumstances. Patrick, thank you very much for talking to us. We really appreciate your insights. See you tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Naya. Thank you so much for having me, and all the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. That's our final financial advisor for today, Patrick Mhlari. He's going to be back tomorrow once again to give us more advice right here on Adventist World Radio's.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.